بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 23rd session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, and in the explanation of 50 hadith of al-Imam al-Nawawi and al-Imam ibn Rajab rahimahumullah, with a commentary or explanation of our Shaykh al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And tonight, we're going to be looking at the 19th hadith from the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. But before doing so, we want to go back and look at summarize some of the points that we discussed last week in the previous session for hadith number 18. So the first question, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 18. What was the main topic or subject of hadith number 18? Naam. Qasim. Naam. Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any other topic? Yes.
To fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah wherever you may be.
To fear Allah wherever you may be. Naam. Another?
How to properly deal with, interact with Allah, with oneself and with others.
How a person, and the summary of this hadith is how a person properly interacts with Allah, the relationship with Allah, the taqwa of Allah, and the relation, for their self, that is, at-tawbah and following up evil deeds with good deeds, the relation with other people, to deal with people with good character and good manners. Now, the second question, who is the rawi, the narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith, in whose collection this hadith is found? The Rawi and the Muhaddith, in whose collection is found. There were two narrators. There are two narrators. Naam.
Abu Abdurrahman, Mu'adh ibn
Jabr. Abu Abdurrahman, Mu'adh ibn Jabr, radiyallahu anhu.
And Abi Dharr, Jundub ibn Junada,
al-Ghifari. Naam. And Abi Dharr, Jundub ibn Junada, al-Ghifari, radiyallahu anhum. And the hadith is collected by al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. The third question, mention the statement in this hadith related to each of the following. The statement that's related to your Rabb, the statement that's related to yourself, and the statement that's related to other people. One, now.
Fear Allah wherever you are.
In relation to Allah, fear Allah wherever you are, in every situation or circumstance. Now, in relation to yourself?
Follow a bad deed
with a good deed. That's okay, no problem. And in relation to the people? In relation to the people, Naam?
Behave with good character towards people.
Behave with good character towards the people. خَلَقَ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. Question number four. Mention the linguistic definition of at-taqwa and the difference between it, between the linguistic definition and the Sharia definition. Linguistic definition, and what's it? Naam, follow.
Naam, the linguistic definition is one places between him and that which you fear, something that will protect him.
Naam, that one places, that you place between yourself and that which you fear, a protective shield to protect you from that thing that you fear. Naam. And the difference between the linguistic definition and the technical definition is one matter. Placing something between yourself, instead of that which you fear specifically, between yourself and the anger of Allah. A shield to protect you from His anger. To place between yourself and the anger of Allah a wiqaya to protect you from it. Question number five. Mention four things listed by the author, Hafidhullah, in his explanation of how to protect oneself from the ghadab of Allah. And he mentioned four things. That you protect yourself from the ghadab of Allah by?
By doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded and leaving off what is prohibited.
By doing the things that Allah has commanded and leaving off what He has prohibited. And he mentioned two more things. Tasdiq al-akhbar. And that you believe in the truthfulness of what He has informed us of, through the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. And finally, he said,
"Our actions in accordance with the Sunnah before that was testify to the truth."
Yeah.
And that which Allah has sent down.
Okay, testify to the truth of that which Allah has sent down, and ibadatullah. Now,
worship Allah in the way that was
Worshipping Allah in accordance with that which He has legislated, not in accordance with innovations and any following one's desires. Now, question number 6, does every type of hasana, every type of good deed, remove every type of sayya? Explain your answer. Does every type of hasana, yani the Prophet ﷺ said, atbi'i as-sayyi'at al-hasana. Does every type of hasana remove every type of sayya? Tawbah is a hasana, but it's a particular hasana, right? Which removes everything that's before it, of the kabair and the saghair, whether it's from the greater sins or the lesser sins. As far as other good deeds, then the Shaykh said that they only remove the saghair, because yani major sins require a tawbah. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, yani brought some extra kalam concerning this. He said that what? That if a person does any good deed other than tawbah, then it is yani it is looked at bil muwazana, yani that you compare between the good deed and the evil deed to see which one outweighs the other and so on, or if they are equal. Naam, muwazana. After this, he said, memorize Allah's description of the khuluq, the character of the Prophet ﷺ in the Quran in 68th surah and 4th ayah. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fadl. It's okay, either one.
Okay, innaka ala khuluqin
azim. Innaka ala khuluqin azim. Naam, fadl. Recite as well. Naam. Wa innaka, yani definitely, certainly, surely, you are upon khuluqin azim. Yani Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he said, as mentioned in the Tafsir ibn Kathir, he said the meaning of yani khuluqin, yani ala khuluqin azim, he said, ala deen azim, yani, and that is Islam. The character of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani, is the yani the enactment of what is yani exemplified in Islam. The last question, memorize, or not the last question, 8th question, memorize Aisha radiallahu anha's description of the khuluq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as reported in Sahih Muslim. Now, JazakAllah khair. Now, fadl. Somebody? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I can't see you behind the imam. Fadl. Yani, we said that this description is not actually the description that came in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Rather, and some people use this expression as their way of expressing the idea. But the words of Aisha radiallahu anha, and in some of the narrations, naam? Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. And some of them said, يعني إن خلق الرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان كالقرآن. يعني كان خلقه القرآن. And his character was the Quran, meaning that he exemplified the Quran, يعني fulfilling what Allah commands us within the Quran and avoiding what He prohibited and so on. The last question mentioned 3 of the 5 fawaid or benefits which the author Hafidhullah has derived from this hadith. Some of the benefits derived from this hadith. Naam, fadl.
The perfection of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his care for the people.
The perfection of the nas or the nus of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ummah, yani his yani care and concern and giving good advice and counseling to his ummah as exemplified in the advices that came in this hadith. Naam, another point. Fadl. The good deeds remove bad deeds. We understand that from this hadith, because he said what? أَتْبِعْ السَّيَّاتِ الْحَسَنَةِ تَمْحُهَا. And it will remove it. Naam. Also, the encouragement, yani, to fear Allah wherever you are, or the command to fear Allah wherever you are. Naam. Good deeds remove evil deeds. Naam. Naam. I think that's 4. There's one more. There were 5. Question is 3, but there were 5. Yani, the encouragement to Treat people with good character, good conduct and behavior in dealing with the people. So these are some of the matters that we discussed last week. And tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, as was mentioned earlier by the Imam, Allahu musta'an, a tremendous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as the Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhullah, mentioned in his introduction from the beginning of this book, he mentioned that these hadith that al-Imam al-Nawwi rahimahullah collected are all comprehensive, very, very important fundamentals in the deen of Islam, and this is indeed one of them. And it contains a number of points, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to bring each of the points that the Shaykh mentions with some clarity, so that we really benefit from this hadith. I know for me, having read 40 hadith for years and years and years and years, and it is indeed a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be going over this explanation and some of the benefits that came from other explanations of these 40 tremendous hadith, or we can say 50 hadith, because with the hadith of Al-Imam Ibn Rajab. The explanation of this hadith, the Shaykh has broke it down into 8 points. The first 7 points related to the explanation of the hadith, and the 8th point being the benefits derived from it. And what I'm going to attempt to do, by the permission of Allah, is to mention the points, each point of the 8 points, one by one, from Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, hafidhullah, and at the same time join to it the commentary of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, along with it at the same time, so that we have them together. And we get the benefit from each of them, which I think, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, if Allah grants me success in doing so, we'll find of tremendous benefit. And as well, the benefits from the hadith, we're going to try to do the same thing. Try to bring the benefits from Shaykh Abdul Muhsin along with the benefits from Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, as a comparison between them, so that we can benefit from each of them at the same time. So we begin on page 69, the Arabic text of this book, Hadith, Al-Hadith Al-Tasi Ashar, the 19th Hadith, An Abil Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, on the authority of Abu Al-Abbas. That's his kunya. And his name is Abdullah, the son of Abbas. May Allah be pleased with both of them. Abdullah and his father, Al-Abbas. May Allah be pleased with both of them. He said, قَالَ كُنْتُ خَلْفَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمًا فَقَالَ لِي يَا غُلَامُ إِنِّي أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ. One day, I was behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said to me, Ya Ghulam, O young man. And it is mentioned by some of the scholars concerning Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and the amazing thing about this great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his knowledge, his extensive knowledge, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died while Abdullah ibn Abbas had not yet reached the age of puberty. Which means that he was learning when he was extremely young. And even when the Prophet ﷺ passed, he was still, and he had not reached the age of puberty. And yet, subhanAllah, the number of hadith and the knowledge that he conveyed, subhanAllah, is truly amazing by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said to me, O young man, إِنِّي أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ. Indeed, I am going to teach you some words. And here I want to note that kalimat, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, his explanation of this hadith, in his summary explanation, not in the full explanation, summary explanation, he takes this word kalimat and he breaks down this hadith into kalimat, 7 words or 7 statements. And then he mentions each statement, al-kalimatul ula, al-thaniya, al-thalitha, and so on. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm going to teach you some words, meaning some statements. And Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said, and there were 7 statements in this hadith. 7 statements. In the narration of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi. 7 kalimat. The first of them, احفظ الله يحفظك. yani protect and preserve. And guard, yani the meaning of ihfazillah here, as we will see, yani I don't want to translate it literally because I don't want to like cause confusion, but yani guard, protect and preserve the hudud of Allah, the limits, the boundaries of Allah, and the sharia of Allah, the laws of Allah, the deen of Allah. And then Allah will protect and preserve you. That's the first statement. The second one, ihfazillah tajidhu tujahaka. Yani guard and protect and preserve the deen of Allah, the laws of Allah, the boundaries, the limits that Allah has set, and you will find Allah in front of you. The third statement, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. If you ask, then ask from Allah alone. The fourth statement, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek help in any matter, then seek help from Allah, meaning from Allah alone. The fifth statement, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. That if the ummah, yani the entirety of humanity, from the first of them to the last of them, were to gather together to benefit you with anything, they would not have been able to benefit you with anything except that which Allah had already written, decreed for you. And the sixth statement, وَإِنْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَدُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَدُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if all of humanity came together to harm you in any way with anything, they would never have been able to harm you except with that which Allah had already written against you, yani to befall you. And the seventh statement, and that's the end of the hadith, رُفِيَتْ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتْ الصُّحُفِ. Yani the pens have been raised up, have been lifted, and the pages have dried. Yani the naam. And that is the end of the narration of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. Yani he says, رَوَهُ الْتِرْمِذِي وَقَالَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. Yani al-Tirmidhi, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, said, this hadith is Hasan Sahih. Then, Al-Imam Nawawi mentions, وَفِي رِوَايَةِ غَيْرِ الْتِرْمِذِي. And in a narration from other than Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, in a different narration. And that narration is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Musnad of Abu Ya'la and perhaps in other places as well. In that second narration, it contains, and there's no listing of the number of the words in this hadith, yani the kalimat, and they appear to be five words. But maybe, yani they could be counted differently, and Allah knows best. The first of them, for sure, is clear, احفظِ اللَّهِ تَجِدْهُ أَمَامَكَ. Yani protect and preserve the hudud of Allah and the sharia of Allah, the bounds, the limits that Allah has set, and you will find him in front of you. And this is any carrying the same meaning as we found in the second statement from the first narration. The second statement, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Same meaning. The second statement, تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. And become acquainted with Allah when you are in prosperity, in ease, when things are going well for you. And Allah will be acquainted with you when you are in difficulty and hardship, in shiddah. And this statement is not crystal clear that it compares to a statement in the original first narration, but if you think about it carefully, it appears to me that it is equivalent, yani, to the first statement in the original narration, yani, احفظ الله يحفظك, that if you protect and preserve the laws of Allah, Allah will protect you. Here, yani the meaning is different wording, but the point is what? That if you abide by the laws of Allah, yani ta'arraf ila Allah fi rakha, when things are well, if you do the things that are pleasing to Allah, then Allah will be acquainted with you. He will know you, he will take care of you, he will protect and preserve you. Yani meaning that if you do what you're supposed to do, Allah is going to take care of you. So in that sense, the meaning compares to the first narration, the first statement. Then he says, and this next statement, probably it could be taken as two statements in consideration of how Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, yani mentioned from the original narration, he divided up two statements that were related to each other in the same way. That is, that if the whole of the ummah had gathered together to benefit you with something, they would not have benefited you with anything except what Allah had decreed. And if they had gathered together to harm you, they would not have been able to harm you with anything except what Allah had decreed. Here, in this narration, it says, and the point there is what? That nobody can benefit or harm you except by what Allah has already decreed. Yani the point is, everything is in accordance with what Allah had decreed. In this narration, he says, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَخْطَعَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. Yani, whatever passed you by, then it was not going to befall you. It was not going to befall you. And whatever has befallen you, it was not going to pass you by. And the same meaning is here, what? That everything is by Allah's decree. Everything is by Allah's decree. Nothing that passed you by could have befallen you. And whatever has befallen you, afflicted you, and it could not have passed you by. Everything is going to be in accordance with Allah's decree. And then, in this narration, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَا الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرْجَ مَا الْقَرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And know that an-nasra, help, aid, assistance, victory, is with sabr, patience. Yani if a person is patient, they will receive the help of Allah. وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَا الْقَرْبِ, and that relief will come with الْقَرْبِ, yani with distress, anxiety, yani fear. A person is in a condition of distress. So relief will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الْفَرَجَ, the relief, مَا الْقَرْبِ, it is with the distress, and it will follow it. It is attached to it. It's inseparable from it. وَأَنَّ مَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا, and that dip hardship, yani with hardship there's ease. With hardship there's ease. Here I just want to note that if you think about these things, yani that the help, the nasr, and the faraj, the relief, and the yusr, yani all what? Yani the help and the relief, yani and the ease, all of that is from Allah. After difficulty and distress, yani if a person is patient, if a person is patient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, I think in Surah Ali Imran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salat. Inna Allaha ma'a as-sabirin. Yani whoever is in need of help, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salat. Sabr and salat. And indeed Allah is with those who are patient. Yani an-nasr is with sabr. If a person is patient, the ease is guaranteed to come. The relief is guaranteed to come. And Allah goes on to say in those ayats, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give good news to those who are patient. Those who what? Recognize that we belong to Allah and to whom we will return. Allah can do with us whatever He wills. Whoever recognizes that, who knows that, who acknowledges it, who accepts it, and also is motivated to be patient because they know we're going to return to Allah for reward from Allah. If a person is patient with what Allah has decreed for them. This is the hadith, yani the narration of At-Tirmidhi and the narration from other than At-Tirmidhi. Then, as far as the explanation, as I mentioned, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he mentions 8 points, the eighth point being the benefits from this hadith. Point number one, قَوْلُهُ اِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ, yani the first kalima that the Prophet ﷺ offered to Abdul ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was, yani اِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ, اِحْفَظْ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ, yani protect and preserve and guard the limits, the boundaries that Allah has set. How do you do so? بِإِمْتِثَالِ أَوَامِرِهِ وَاجْتِنَابْ نَوَاهِهِ. Yani the way that you guard the boundaries of Allah is that you act upon, yani you fulfill what Allah has commanded, His commandments, and you avoid His prohibitions. Then he said, وَالتَّصْدِيقَ الْأَخْبَارِ, and that you testify to the truthfulness of what Allah has informed us of, and what He has revealed. وَعِبَادَتِهِ وَفْقًا لِمَا شَرَعَ لَا بِالْأَحْوَى وَالْبِدَعَ, and that you worship Allah, that the worship of Allah be in accordance with what He has legislated, not according to your desires, nor according to the innovations. Yani guard the boundaries of Allah. How? By yani fulfilling all of His commands and avoiding His prohibitions and believing in that which He has informed us of and worshipping Him in accordance with what He has legislated, not according to our desires and not according to what the people have invented. If you do so, يَحْفَظْكَ اللَّهُ فِي أُمُورِ دِينِكَ وَدُنْيَاكَ. The Shaykh says, if you do so, then Allah will protect and preserve you in the affairs of your deen, your religious affairs, and in the affairs of your dunya and your worldly affairs. And Allah will protect you in all of your affairs. He says, جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا, that this is a reward or a recompense that is in proportion or comparable to the actions. Yani a reward that is in agreement with what you have done. Yani an appropriate reward. A, أَنَّ الْجَزَاءَ مِنْ جِنْسَ الْعَمَلِ. Yani that the reward for anything will be of the same type as the deed done. The Shaykh says, فَالْعَمَلْ حِفْظ وَالْجَزَاءَ حِفْظ. Yani the deed, the amal, was that you protect and preserve the boundaries of Allah and the Sharia of Allah. And so the reward is that Allah will protect and preserve you. الْجَزَاءَ مِنْ جِنْسَ الْعَمَلِ. Yani the recompense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give will be in accordance with what you have done. If you have done well, then you will receive good. هَلْ جَزَاءَ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there any reward for doing good except good? And likewise the opposite. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says concerning yani this first statement, إِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ, he says, this word, إِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ, yani it means protect and preserve the hudud of Allah and the sharia of Allah by fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. If you do so, then Allah will protect you in your deen. Yani fi deenika wa ahlika wa malika wa nafsika. Yani Allah will protect you in your religious affairs, and Allah will protect your family, and Allah will protect your wealth, and Allah will protect yourself. If you protect, guard and preserve the hudud of Allah and the sharia of Allah, Allah will protect you. He will protect you, He will protect your family, He will protect your wealth, He will protect, yani, whatever it is that you are concerned about. Most importantly, your deen. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yujzi al-muhsineen bi-ihsanihim. And that is because Allah rewards the people who do good, ihsan, He rewards it with ihsan. And there is no reward for ihsan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except ihsan. Shaykh Muhammad, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he says, وَعُلِمَ مِنْ هَذَا أَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَحْفَظْ مَنْ لَمْ يَحْفَظِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحِقُّ أَنْ يَحْفَظَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. From this, yani, whoever guards and protects the hudud of Allah, Allah will guard and protect and preserve them. He said, from this we know that whoever doesn't guard and protect the deen of Allah, the hudud of Allah, the sharia of Allah, that person is not entitled to Allah protecting them. وَفِي هَذَا التَّرْغِيبِ عَلَى حِفْظِ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And in this, there is an encouragement to guard and protect the hudud of Allah. Yani, why is it an encouragement? Because the person knows that whoever guards the hudud of Allah, Allah will protect and preserve them. And whoever doesn't, Allah will not protect and preserve them. So this should be an encouragement to us to be careful of the boundaries that Allah set and to fulfill the commands of Allah and to avoid His prohibitions. The second statement from the hadith, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah, he says, قَوْلُهُ إِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ تُجَاهَكَ بِمَانَ أَمَامَكَ كَمَا فِي الرِّوَايَةِ الْأُخْرَى. And he says that this statement, the second statement, protect and preserve the boundaries of Allah, and you will find him in front of you. He said the meaning of tujahaka, it is amamaka, as it came in the other narration, other than at-Tirmidhi, where he said ihfadillah tajidhu amamaka. And the meaning of this second statement, guard and protect the boundaries of Allah, you will find him in front of you. He said the meaning is tajidhu yahutuka wa yara'aka fi umuri dinika wa dunyaka. Yani, if you guard and protect the boundaries of Allah, you will find Allah in front of you, meaning he will encompass you, he will surround you, he will protect and preserve you and watch over you in the affairs of your deen and in your worldly affairs. Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Faymi rahimahullah says the second statement, ihfadillah tajidhu tujahaka, yani we say the same thing about the meaning of ihfadillah that we said in the first statement. That is, yani, that, yani, guarding, ihfadillah means guard his hudud and his sharia. Tajidhu tujahaka, ay tajidhu amamaka. You will find him in front of you, he said, يَدُلُّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَيُقَرِّبُكَ إِلَيْهِ وَيَهْدِيكَ إِلَيْهِ. Yani, finding, you will find Allah in front of you, he said, it means that you will find him in front of you directing you to every goodness, everything that is good. Directing you to everything that is good. وَيُقَرِّبُكَ إِلَيْهِ and bringing you near to it. وَيَهْدِيكَ إِلَيْهِ and bringing you and guiding you to it. Yani the khair, or bringing you near to him and guiding you to him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find him in front of you, yani directing you to every good and bringing you near to him and guiding you to him. The third statement from Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. He says, Qawluhu, and here, yani, Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen had mentioned these as two statements. The Shaykh mentions this not as one statement, but he mentions it just as the third point. He mentions two statements together. The third and fourth statement of this hadith, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask, then ask from Allah alone. And if you seek help from Allah alone. هذا مطابق لقوله تعالى إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. This statement from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, if you ask for anything, ask from Allah alone. And if you seek help in anything, seek help from Allah alone. He said this statement concurs with, it conforms with, and it coincides with the saying of Allah the Most High, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. Yani you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. The second part of it is crystal clear, right? If you ask for help from Allah alone. Yani iyyaka nasta'in. The first part, if you ask, then ask from Allah alone. How does that concur with iyyaka na'budu? The Shaykh says, fa'inna as-su'al, asking. Su'al Allah, du'a'un. And if you ask, ask from Allah alone. Because asking Allah is du'a. Wa du'a huwa al-ibadah. Iyyaka na'budu and du'a huwa al-ibadah, as it came in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah, and some of the narration ad-du'a mukh al-ibadah, and the scholars of hadith say ad-du'a mukh al-ibadah, that word in that hadith is not authentic, but the meaning is there, it's the same, ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah, it means that the core, the essence of worship is du'a. The Shaykh says, so the asking of Allah, it's du'a. And du'a is ibadah. So the meaning of this statement, if you ask for anything, ask from Allah alone. And if you seek help from Allah alone. It means that the Muslim, يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ وَيَسْأَلُهُ قَضَى حَاجَتِهِ وَيَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ فِي جَمِيعُ أُمُورِهِ الدُّنْيَوِيَّ وَالْأُخْرَوِيَّ وَيَأْخُذْ بِالْأَسْبَابِ الْمَشْرُوعِ وَيَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَنْفَعَ بِالْأَسْبَابِ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ احْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجِزْ. And the Shaykh says the meaning of this or these two statements. If you ask for anything, then ask from Allah. And if you seek help from Allah. He said this is, yani, conforms with and concurs with the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And he explained why, and then he said the meaning here is that the Muslim worships Allah alone. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The Muslim worships Allah alone. And part of that worship is that he asks Allah to fulfill his needs. That's part of the worship that is for Allah alone. That if he asks for anything, he asks from Allah alone. وَيَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ And he seeks help from Allah in all of his affairs, worldly affairs and the affairs of the next life, religious affairs. And then he added to that, very importantly, that what is understood, and we discussed this in great detail when we deal with the subject of a tawakkul, that is, that when a person asks Allah, seeks help from Allah, that they have to do something. That they have to do something. Yani putting your trust in Allah, depending upon Allah, is not just I trust in Allah and everything is going to be okay. No, you have to actually do something. So the Shaykh said that the Muslim worships Allah alone and asks Allah to fulfill his needs and he seeks help from Allah in all of his affairs and then he يَأْخُذْ بِالْأَسْبَابِ الْمَشْرُوعَ Then he utilizes the means that have been legislated, that have been made lawful by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He utilizes those means to get what it is that he's seeking, that he is asking for, that he's seeking help with. He actually tries to do whatever yani he can do or she can do in order to achieve what has been legislated by the legislative means, and then he asks Allah to make those means benefit. Because there are means that are known to benefit, but they only benefit by the permission of Allah. And what we said concerning this previously is what? That a person utilizes the means because Allah has ordered us to utilize the means. But a person's heart is not connected to the means. Because the means in and of themselves cannot produce anything except by the permission of Allah. So a person utilizes the means to achieve some goal or to protect them from some harm, but the success of those means is in their heart attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to the means. Yani a person takes medicine when they're sick, but they know that the cure is only with Allah. Medicine can't heal by itself. And that which harms cannot harm, except if Allah allows it. So the heart has to be attached and dependent upon Allah. Our trust and dependence, our confidence, our faith is in Allah, not in the means. We utilize the means because Allah has legislated that. The Shaykh said, so the person asks, yani they utilize the means and they ask Allah to make those means beneficial, as is mentioned in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Imam Muslim, احرص على ما ينفعك. Be diligent and eager in going after that which benefits you. واستعن بالله and seek help from Allah. Yani do what you can do and ask Allah's help. ولا تعجز and don't yani allow yourself to feel yani incapable or unable or helpless. احرص Make the effort, seek help from Allah, and then don't feel like it can't be done. Because with the help of Allah, everything is possible. He's the one who controls all affairs. These two statements, if you ask from Allah alone, and if you seek help from Allah alone. And Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he mentions them as the third and fourth statement from the kalimat that the Prophet ﷺ offered to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Al-kalima al-thalitha, he said, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, if you ask, then ask from Allah. Yani if you ask for any need, فَلَا تَسْأَلْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Then don't ask anyone except Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَلَا تَسْأَلْ الْمَخْلُوقِ شَيْئًا Don't ask the human beings, the created beings, for anything. However, and this is very important. However, إِذَا قُدْرَ أَنَّكَ سَأَلْتَ الْمَخْلُوقِ مَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ But if it happened that Allah decrees that you ask a person, a human being, for something that they are actually able, capable of doing, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ سَبَبٌ مِّنَ الْأَسْبَابِ وَأَنَّ الْمُسَبِّبُ هُوَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَأَتَمِدْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى So if it happened that Allah decreed that you do, and he don't ask the human beings, ask Allah. But if you did ask the human being, to help you in something that they are capable of doing, then know that they are only a means to achieve the goal. But Allah is the one who makes those means effective or ineffective. And therefore, depend upon Allah alone, not upon the means, not upon the people, but depend on Allah alone. The fourth kalima, al-kalima al-rabiya, he said the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ If you seek help from Allah, Yani if a person wanted some help, if they sought some help from anyone, فَلَا تَطْلُبْ إِلَّا مِنَ اللَّهِ, then don't seek help except from Allah. لِأَنَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ يُعِينُكَ إِذَا شَاءَ. يعني, a person should try to avoid asking for help from anyone except Allah, because Allah is the one in whose hands is the control, the ownership, the authority over the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And He is the one who will help you, if He wills. He is the one who will help you, if He wills. فَإِذَا أَخْلَصْتَ الْإِسْتِعَانَ وَتَوَكَّلْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَعَانَكَ. And so if a person, yani, seeks help from Allah alone, yani is sincere, ikhlas, and seeking help from Allah alone, and they put their trust in Allah alone, then Allah will help them. But if you seek help from the human beings, فِيمَا قَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ, but if you seek help from the human beings and that what they are able to do, فَاعْتَقِدْ أَنَّهُ سَبَبٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَهُ لَكَ. But if it happened that you seek help from a human being in that which they are able to do, then he said you must believe. Your aqidah, your belief, your conviction should be that that person is only a means to help, and it is Allah who has subjected them to help you, who has made them available to help you. That in reality, the help is only from Allah. After this, yani, the fourth point of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin's Hafizullah, any explanation, contains the fifth and sixth and seventh statements of this hadith. The fifth, sixth, and seventh statement to the end of this hadith. He said, قَوْلُهُ وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ. Know that if the ummah, the whole of humanity, had come together to benefit you with anything, he said, إِلَىٰ قَوْلِهِ رُفِيَتْ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتْ الصُّحُفِ, meaning that if, yani the first statement, or the fifth statement, is know that if all the people had came together to benefit you with anything, they would never be able to benefit you with anything except what Allah had already written for you. And the sixth statement, that if all the people had come together to harm you with anything, they would never have been able to harm you with anything except what Allah had already written for you. And the seventh statement is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, the pens have been lifted and the pages have dried up. Yani, the matter of the divine decrees is finished. Allah has decreed what's going to be, and that's the end of it. And there's no change in what Allah has decreed. He said, after these three statements, yani the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin is saying, بعد أن ذكر أن السؤال لله وحده والاستعانة بالله وحده. Yani after he mentioned these things, that asking and seeking help is only from Allah alone, the Shaykh is connecting that, seeking help from Allah alone, asking from Allah alone, he's connecting it to the Iman bil Qadr. After that, then he mentions the last three statements which are related to having Iman and Qadr. Yani, why should a person only seek help from Allah? Because nothing doesn't happen except what Allah decreed. Why should they ask only from Allah? Because Allah is the one, yani, who has decreed what is going to be and what is not going to be. In His hand is the authority over everything. And whatever He wills will be, and whatever He doesn't will not be. So this is, yani, the connection, as the Shaykh appears to be making here, is that after he mentioned, yani, the asking from Allah alone and seeking help from Allah alone, then he mentions these matters related to Iman in Al-Qadr. بعد أن ذكر أن السؤال لله وحده والاستعانة بالله وحده أخبر أن كل شيء بيده. Then he informs us that everything is in the hands of Allah. وأنه, yani, he makes five statements here. وأنه لا مانع لما أعطى ولا معطي لما منع. He informs us that everything is in the hands of Allah, and that there's لا مانع, there's nothing to prevent what Allah gives, and there's no one who can give what Allah has prevented, held back. وأن كل شيء لا يخرج عن إرادته ومشيئته. And that everything, yani, nothing goes outside of the irada of Allah and the mashiyah of Allah. And this is again attached to the divine decree. That from the divine decree is the ilm wal kitaba wal mashiyah wal khalq. That the divine decree has four aspects. It is that everything is written based upon the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then that whatever happens is by the will of Allah. Nothing happens except what Allah wills, and it happens when Allah causes it to happen, when He brings it into existence by His creation. So here he's referring to the divine, yani the qadr of Allah, that everything, that there's nothing that is outside the irada or the mashia of Allah. Everything is within what Allah intends and what Allah wills. وَأَنَّ الْعِبَادِ لَا يُمْكِنُهُمْ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوهُ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يُقَدِّرْهُ اللَّهِ. Yani, and that the people, the worshippers, the human beings, it is not possible for them to benefit anyone with anything that hasn't been already decreed by Allah. وَلَا أَنْ يَدُرُّهُ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يُقَدِّرْهُ اللَّهِ. And it's not possible for the human beings to harm anyone with anything that hasn't already been decreed by Allah. And finally he says, وَأَنَّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ يَقَعُ أَوْ لَا يَقَعُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَقَعُ أَوْ لَا يَقَعُ سَبَكَ بِهِ الْقَضَاءُ وَالْقَضَرُ. Yani that everything that occurs or that does not occur, it has been preceded by the qadā of Allah and the qadr. Everything that occurs or does not occur is because of what Allah has yani pre-decreed. And for this reason, the Prophet ended this hadith by saying, رُفِيَتْ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتْ الصُّحُفُ, yani that the pens have been lifted and the pages have dried, meaning, كُلَّ أَنَّ كُلَّ كَائِنْ قَدْ فُرِغَ مِنْهُ وَقُتِبَ. Yani everything that is going to occur, it's finished. It has already been written. وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ وُقُوعِهِ, and therefore it must occur. Yani in the way that Allah decreed it to be. And what is intended by رَفَى الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَافَ الصُّحُفُ? He said, what is intended by the pens being lifted and the page is drying? He said, الْإِنْتَهَاءُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقَدَّرٍ بِكِتَابَتِهِ فِي اللَّهِ الْمَحْفُوظِ. Yani that everything that has been decreed is finished with the writing of it in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Yani when Allah has had it written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, then the matter is finished. فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَقَعَ وَفْقًا لِمَا قُدِّرَ. So therefore it must occur in accordance with what Allah has pre-decreed. وَهَذِهِ الْجُمَلْ فِيهَا إِثْبَاتَ الْإِيمَانِ بِالْقَدْرِ وَهُوَ أَحَدْ أُصُولِ الْإِيمَانِ السِّتَّةِ الْمُبَيَّنَةِ فِي حَدِيثِ جِبْرِيلْ الْمَشْهُورِ. Yani, he said that these three sentences, or these sentences, actually the last three statements of this hadith, and in them, there is the confirmation of having iman in the qadr. And this iman in qadr is one of the six fundamentals of iman that have been made clear in the hadith, the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. Naam. Here, yani as far as these three statements of this hadith, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he deals with them separately. Al-Kalima al-Khamisa, he says the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, know that the Ummah, if they had all gathered together to benefit you in anything, they would never have been able to benefit you except with that which Allah has already written for you. Here he says, Al-Ummah kulluha min awwaliha ila akhiriha. Yani the Ummah, the people, all of them, from the first of them to the last of them, if they had gathered together to benefit you with anything, لَن يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتِبُهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. They would never be able to benefit you with anything except what Allah has already written for you, decreed for you. And then he says, importantly, وَعَلَى هَذَا فَإِنَّ نَفَعَ الْخَلْقِ الَّذِي يَأْتِ لِلْإِنسَانِ فَهُوَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ. The Shaykh says, yani based on this statement of the Prophet ﷺ, then we know then that the benefit that comes to us from a human being, some money or some food or some help or some assistance, since nobody can benefit you in anything except that it's already decreed by Allah, He's the one who decreed it. And He's the one who brings it into existence. Therefore, the benefit that comes to you from a human being, huwa min Allah fil haqiqah, then it is in reality from Allah. And a person gets credit for what they do of good, if they did it in accordance with what Allah has legislated and sincerely for the sake of Allah. But the reality is that it's from Allah. The reality is that it's from Allah. And in the same way we can say that a person who does evil to you and you hate them for it and you might want to kill them for it, and it's not lawful to kill anybody, to go around killing people because you hate them or you don't like them. But the same thing is true, that nobody can do anything harmful to you except that it's by the decree of Allah. And that person, just like the person who does good, may be rewarded for it, the person who does evil will also be called to account for it. But the reality is that it's from the decree of Allah. A person has to keep the focus on what? That this is what Allah has decreed. And therefore, it's from our aqidah that we are pleased with what Allah has decreed. We are pleased with Allah as our Rabb. Raditu billahi Rabban. Part of being pleased with Allah as our Rabb is that we are pleased with what He decrees. Because that's part of His rububiyyah. That He is the one who decides every affair. The Shaykh says, so therefore if any benefit comes from the people to anyone, then it is in reality from Allah. لِأَنَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي كَتَبَهُ لَهُ. Because He's the one who wrote it for you. He's the one who decided that that was going to be for you. وَهَذَا حَثٌ لَنَا عَلَىٰ أَن نَعْتَمِدَ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ. And this is also an encouragement for us to depend upon Allah. Depend upon Allah, because Allah is the one in reality who brings any benefit to us. وَنَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لَا يَجْلِبُونَ لَنَا خَيْرًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And also we must know that no person from the human beings can bring any good to us except it's by the permission of Allah. Except it's by the permission of Allah. He says, Al-Kalima al-Sadisa, the sixth statement, that if the people had gathered together to bring any harm to you, they would never have been able to harm you with anything except what Allah has already written for you. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, وَعَلَى هَذَا فَإِنَّا لَكَ ضَرَرٌ مِّنْ أَحَدٍ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ عَلَيْكَ فَرْضِ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْرِهِ. So based upon this, if any harm came to you from anyone, then you must know that indeed it is Allah who has written this for you. He is the one who decreed this to happen to you. Therefore be pleased with the qada of Allah and His qadr. Be pleased with what Allah has pre-decreed and what He has executed, He caused to occur. Then the Shaykh adds to that a very important note. He said, وَلَا حَرَجْ أَن تُحَاوِلَ أَن تَدْفَعَ الدَّرَّ عَنْكَ. And there is no harm. Even though, yes, if harm comes to you, it's by the decree of Allah. He said, there's no harm. There's nothing wrong with you trying to repulse harm from yourself. Somebody's trying to do evil to you. There's no blame on you for you to try to repulse, to repel that harm from you. And he says, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَالَ وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. And the recompense for an evil is an evil like it. And this is in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 40th Ayah. And there's no harm, even though if somebody tries to harm you, it's by the decree of Allah that they harm you. But there's no harm in you trying to protect yourself from that harm. Even if that person is harmed in the process of you protecting yourself from the why? Because the recompense for evil is the evil like it. So a person has the right to defend yourself. And whatever Allah decreed is going to be. The last statement from this hadith, Al-Kalima al-Sabiya, Rufiyat al-Aklam, the pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. أَنَّمَا كَتَبُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَدْ إِنْتَهَى. What Allah has written, what Allah has decreed is finished. The pens have been raised up and the pages have dried. وَلَا تَبْدِيلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. And there is no changing the words of Allah. And this hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi, and he said Hasan Sahih, and in the narration from other than At-Tirmidhi, then he goes on to explain some of these things, pretty much the same things, but in different words. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he doesn't mention the first statement from the other narration. He doesn't mention the first statement, but he mentions the second statement. And he doesn't mention the statement, Ihfadillah tajidhu amamaka. He doesn't mention the explanation of that. He preceded when he mentioned the first way it came, so he sufficed that the meaning is the same. So he went to the second statement from the second narration, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعَرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Become acquainted with Allah when you are in prosperity and ease. And Allah will be acquainted with you in difficulty and adversity and hardship. The meaning of this, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin says, حَفِظَ اللَّهِ أَنَّ مَنْ أَخْلَصَ عمله لله في حال رخائه وسعته يجد الخير من الله ودفع الضر عنه في حال شدته وقربه. He said that the meaning of this statement, يعني become acquainted with Allah, يعني in prosperity Allah will know you, in adversity, the meaning is that whoever is sincere, has ikhlas in what they do for the sake of Allah, when things are going well, when they have plenty and things are good, then they will find good from Allah, and they will find that Allah will repulse harm from them when they fall into difficulty and hardship and adversity. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 2nd and 3rd Ayat, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And that whoever observes taqwa of Allah, here being equivalent to what? Guarding the hudud of Allah, fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. Whoever observes taqwa of Allah, then he will make a way out. Allah will make a way out for that person. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, from whatever difficulty or situation that they're in. And He will provide from them from where they didn't expect it or where they didn't imagine it. Yani if a person observes taqwa of Allah, then Allah will take care of them. Whoever guards the hudud of Allah, Allah will guard and protect them, preserve them. And he said it's also like the saying of Allah in Surah As-Safat, 37th Surah, 143rd, 144th Ayat, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُصَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. That if it wasn't for the fact that he was from the musabbihin, yani those who used to declare the perfection of Allah, the glory of Allah, yani tasbih, yani saying subhanallah and glorifying, praising Allah, if it wasn't for that, that good that he had did when things were going well, then when he was in the belly of the fish, in the belly of the whale, and when he was in adversity and difficulty, he would have been on his own. If it wasn't for the fact that he had been worshipping Allah, guarding the hudud of Allah when things were well, then he would have remained in the belly of the whale until the people were raised up on the day of resurrection. And he said a third example of this is the story of the three people who were in the cave, and they sought refuge in the cave, and to find a place to rest, and the stone came down and closed up the mouth of the cave, and one of them sought the means of nearness to Allah. I mean, they all sought the means of nearness to Allah, tawassal, yani with the righteous deeds that they did. One of them, he said, what his righteous deed was, that his kindness, his birr to his parents, he was kind and dutiful to his parents. And another of them was that he preserved the amana, yani he was left with a trust from the worker who worked for him, and he didn't receive his wage, and he returned it to him with the increase that came over the time, yani between the time that he left and came back for it, and he returned it to him. And the third of them sought tawassul, nearness to Allah, by abandoning al-fahisha for the sake of Allah, after he was in a position to have committed yani this evil, yani immorality, yani zina. While he was able to do it, he left it for the sake of Allah. So each of them had done some good that they sought nearness to Allah through it, and Allah helped them when they were in difficulty because of the good that they did before that. The Shaykh says, so yani Allah removed the yani distress and the difficulty from them, and he removed the harm that had befallen them, and he yani moved the stone so that they were able to come out of that cave. And this hadith is reported in Al-Bukhari 5974 and in Muslim 2743. Yani this is the second statement of the second narration. And concerning this statement, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, he says, time. He says, he mentions the first statement first, yani guard and protect and preserve the boundaries of Allah, you will find Him in front of you. He said, this means, as we said before, you will find Him in front of you, guiding you to the khayr and bringing you near to it and guiding you to Him. He said, ta'arraf ila Allah fil rakha, yani be acquainted with Allah in prosperity, and Allah will know you when you are in difficulty. He said, it means, kum bihaqillah, yani fulfill the rights of Allah when things are well, when you are in prosperity, when you have good health, when you are wealthy and have plenty, then Allah will know you in shidda, yani when your good health is removed and when your wealth is removed and when you are in need of Allah, then Allah will know you based on what you used to do before. Yani bima sabaqa min fi'l al-khayr alladhi ta'arrafta bihi ila Allah azza wa jalla. Yani Allah will be acquainted with you, Allah will know you, Allah will respond to you, Allah will help you, will protect and preserve you based on the good that you did, yani through the good deeds through which you came, you became acquainted with Allah. The second statement, or the third statement in this hadith, the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin says, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, know that whatever has befallen you, ma akhtaka, whatever has passed you by, it was not going to befall you. And whatever has befallen you was not going to pass you by. The meaning of this is that, ma qaddar Allah salamataka minhu fa'innahu la yahsul laka. Yani whatever Allah has decreed that you will be safe from, then it will never happen to you. It will never occur to you. وَمَا قَدْرَ حُصُولَهُ لَكَ فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ وُقُوِهِ. And whatever Allah has decreed will occur, will happen to you, then it must occur. It must happen. لِأَنَّهُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. And this is because whatever Allah wills, whatever He decrees, whatever He decides, then yani it will happen. And whatever He does not will, it will never happen. And everything yani that Allah has decreed to occur, it must occur. And it cannot yani be, it cannot fail to happen. And everything that Allah didn't decree, there's no way for you to achieve it, there's no way for you to reach it. As for this statement, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, he just says, yani, that whatever Allah has decreed, yani, to befall you, then it will befall you, and whatever He has not decreed to befall you will not befall you. And this is, yani, because everything is by the decree of Allah. So whatever Allah has decreed for you, it will be, yani, whatever Allah, ma katab Allah an yukhtiyaka, to miss you, Allah will raise it up from you. And He will remove it from befalling you. And it will never afflict you. And that is because the whole of the affair is in the hands of Allah. And this, he says, importantly, وَهَذَا يُؤَدِّي إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَعْتَمِدَ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِ اِعْتِمَادًا كَامِلًا. Knowing this, that whatever Allah decreed to pass you by, it could never befall you. And whatever He decreed to befall you could never pass you by. He said, knowing this should lead the human being to have dependence on their Rabb, yani complete and total dependence on their Rabb. And then finally, yani this hadith, the second narration closes with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa'alam anna an-nasr ma'a sabri wa anna al-farj ma'a al-karbi wa anna ma'a al-usri yusra. So know for certainty that help, assistance and aid comes with patience, and that relief comes with distress, and that along with hardship or difficulty there's ease. These three statements, the Shaykh said, bayanu husul and nasr ma sabr, these three statements yani clarify that help is achieved with patience, and that relief, وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجْ مَا كَرْبٍ, that relief comes with distress, and that ease comes with difficulty, and that the what is produced by patience, yani what results from patience, is النَّصْر بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani patience produces help, yani brings about help and assistance by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that distress and difficulty and hardship is uncovered by Allah by granting a person relief after that distress, and that difficulty is followed by ease from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani meaning that the help and the relief and the ease is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says concerning these final statements, he says, know that help is with patience. Yani this particular statement, he said, in it is an encouragement to be patient. And that is because help comes with patience. So if the human being is patient, So that, I mean, the human being should be patient in order for him to achieve the nasr. A human being should be patient in order to achieve the nasr. And as far as the statement, وَالْفَرْجْ مَا الْقَرْبُ وَأَنَّ مَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, he said the relief is with distress. And along with difficulty there is ease. He said that this relief, it is the removal, the faraj, it is the removal of difficulty and hardship and severe stress. And this is as Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ مَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. As far as the benefits of this hadith, actually our time is up. Time is up. Wallahu musta'an. Ma ra'yuk ya imam? Take 5 minutes or stop? You sure? How about you, brothers? Shall we finish 5 minutes? Tayyib. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, he says, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, from the benefits of this hadith, number one. And I'm not going to read the benefits from Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Thaymin because both of them have a lot of benefits. So it'll be a little bit difficult to read both of them. But the first benefit is that whoever preserves the hudud of Allah, Allah will preserve him in his deen and in his dunya. And the second benefit, and these benefits, bi'idhnillah ta'ala, inshallah, we're going to share them with the class. Yani we'll write them out and share them with the class. So if you don't get all of them, inshallah, I will send it to you in the next day or two. The second benefit, من أضاع حدود الله, whoever neglects the boundaries of Allah, لا يحصل له الحفظ من الله. Whoever neglects the boundaries of Allah, then he will not receive, he will not achieve protection from Allah. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 67th Ayat, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot Allah, so Allah forgot them. They neglect the deen of Allah, so Allah doesn't protect and preserve them. The third benefit, he said, أَنَّ الْجَزَاءَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ فَالْعَمَلُ الْحِفْظُ وَالْجَزَاءُ حِفْظُ, يعني that the recompense, the reward, will be of the same type as the deed done. So the deed here was preserving and protecting the boundaries of Allah and the Sharia of Allah. And the reward then is the protection and preservation of that person and of their family and of their wealth and of their deen. And the fourth point is أَنَّ الْعَبْدَ يَخُصُّ رَبَّهُ بِالْعِبَادَ وَالْإِسْتِعَانَ, that a person must single out their Rabb exclusively for worship and isti'ana, seeking help. That you should only worship Allah and only seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth point, al-iman bil qadr, that this hadith, from the benefits of it, is that a person is required to have iman in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sixth point, anna al-ibad la yanfa'una wa la yadurruna, that the human beings, they cannot give any benefit, nor can they cause any harm, illa idha kana an-naf'u wa dararu muqaddarayni min Allah, except that that benefit or that harm is from those things that have been decreed by Allah previously. Point number seven, أنه لا يحصل لأحد نفع إلا إذا كان مقدرا ولا يندفع عنه ضرر إلا إذا كان مقدرا ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. This point number seven is similar to the sixth point. The sixth point is that the people cannot benefit or harm except that that benefit or harm has been decreed by Allah. The seventh point is that a person will not receive or achieve any benefit except that it's decreed, pre-decreed, and they will not be able to repulse, or no harm will be removed or repulsed from them except that it has been pre-decreed, because whatever Allah wills will be and whatever He doesn't will not be. The difference between these two points is that the sixth point is that the realization, the recognition that human beings cannot benefit or harm except by what Allah has decreed. And the second point is that nobody will receive any benefit from anywhere, any way, any time, or any harm, except that it's pre-decreed by Allah. And the eighth point, أَنَّ الصَّبْرَ يَعْقُبُهُ النَّصْرُ, that sabr, it is followed by help and assistance and success and victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ninth point, أَنَّ الْقَرْبَ يَعْقُبُهُ الْفَرَجُ. That distress and difficulty and hardship, yani, is followed by relief. Person is in a stressful situation, that distress will be followed by relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the tenth point, أَنَّ الْأُسْرَ يَعْقُبُهُ الْيُسْرَ. That, yani, difficulty, hardship, will be followed by ease from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the 11th point, تَوَاضُعُهُ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمُلَاطَفَتُهُ يعني الصغار, يعني the humility, the humbleness of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and his gentleness with the young people. And the 12th point, التقديم بين يدي ذكر الأمر المهم بما يحفظ النفوس إليه. يعني that a person should preface or precede the mention of the important matter with that which will cause the person to be interested in it, to spark their interest, to cause them to pay attention to it. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ. The Shaykh says, أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتٍ. And this word, أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكَ, as opposed to إِنِّي أُعَلِّمُكَ, came in another narration. But the meaning is the same. Shall I not teach you some words? Or, yani, indeed I will teach you some words. Yani, this is the preface that a person might precede something important in order to get the attention of the person that they are speaking to. And this is common in the, yani, hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the end of, yani, the benefits that's mentioned by Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, 12 benefits. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentions 14, perhaps in the beginning of the class next week. We'll like bring them so that we don't lose out on that benefit. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.